Oh, really good to be here tonight. Some lovely songs there, wasn't it? I love that song. What a beautiful name, what a wonderful name. It is the name of Jesus. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve you, Majesty. Let's pray. Father, I just pray tonight, Lord, and I ask you that that sense, Lord, of being yours would just permeate into our hearts tonight. That sense, Lord, of what you've done for us, Lord, would just speak into our hearts and would challenge us tonight, Lord, to respond to you, Father, in Jesus' name. In Mark 9, verse 33-37, we read this. The disciples and Jesus came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What are you arguing? What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said to them, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but welcomes the one who sent me. Anyone who wants to be first must be last and the servant of all." In the men's group last Monday night, Matt Parsons did something that really challenged me. He was responsible for leading the discussion there that night. And this is Monday night now, mind, okay? Monday evening, the day after Sunday, when I heard Gareth's message on missional communities. And if you were here, you would have heard it as well. And afterwards, I actually praised him for the fact that I believed he spoke really well, explaining what missional communities are and what missional communities are not. So on Monday evening, Matt split us up into two teams, quiz night, and asked us if we could remember certain points from Gareth's message the night before. This is the message that I thought was really good, and I praised him for just after he'd finished speaking. It was very interesting for me, I've got to be honest with you, this quiz. If somewhat discouraging for Gareth, who I have to say struggled himself to even remember some of the points that he made the night before in this brilliantly crafted message. So I thought it might be an idea for us just to recap on some of those points tonight, because they're really, really important for us as we investigate and we develop this whole subject of missional communities and how they possibly could fit into Gateway. Before listing what missional communities are, Gareth talked about what missional communities are not. Can any of you remember what missional communities are not? There's four things. Sorry? It's not a new fad, absolutely. Anybody else? It's not a Bible study, too. There, good, guys, hey, man. But Raph was in the quiz, okay, so you know, there's two. Oh, you were in the bar. You were there on Monday as well. You're just cheating, man, for goodness sake. And he was racking his brains, I can tell you, on Monday. Absolutely great. So I think we've almost got them all there. Anybody find the last one? You were on the winning team, Nige. You were on my team, in fact. So, okay. Maybe not in the right order, but anyway, we've got them there. Okay, missional communities are not the new fad in church structural design, okay? This structure dates back to the very inception of the church, and that's important for us to grasp. It's not the next new fad. It's a structure that worked for many, many hundreds of years as church grew from its infancy. Mission communities are not a replacement for our Sunday services, our Sunday gatherings, or our midweek small groups, for that matter. Gareth spoke more about this on Tuesday in the fellowship evening, for those of you that were there. Midweek groups are going to remain an important part of our fellowship structure in the future. These groups fulfill an important part of our discipleship process, which will be strengthened further by the successful implementation of missional communities. Similarly, our Sunday gatherings are important to give us a greater sense of belonging to something bigger than our personal or our small group vision, so to speak. This is where, on a Sunday, we get the opportunity to motivate ourselves and get enthused as we come together and just worship God collectively. Missional communities are not a Bible study. And this is really, really important to understand here, because we are absolutely not discouraging people from studying the Bible. Yeah? But missional communities are not Bible studies, but rather recognizes that Bible study is a means of enabling us to better follow Jesus ourselves, so that we can reach the people around us and encourage them to follow Jesus as well. This is all about following Jesus' mission to reach a world and to change the world for him. Missional communities are not a meeting. Yeah? We don't go to a missional community, we are a missional community. And that is an important difference in approach and just mindset, I think. A different mindset that I believe will make a huge difference to our effective implementation of this across this fellowship. We are a missional community. We're a people on mission, as opposed to we just do mission. If these are the four things which missional communities are not, Gareth spoke about them last week, and we all remembered them, and I'm really pleased that we did, with a bit of help from the men's group. Then he talked about three things that missional communities are. I'm going to rush through this, in fact, okay, because we're going to be here a while, because he only just briefly touched on it. Missional communities are families on mission together. Not families and mission, but families on mission, whose purpose is making disciples of Jesus, who then go on to make disciples of Jesus. Yeah? Again, a subtle difference, and which we'll come back to in a moment, but which makes, again, quite a big difference in terms of the success of this process. Missional communities are full of missionaries, people who don't do mission, but somehow through a different mindset have become missionaries. Yeah, they work to supply resources for their real job, their real jobs of being missionaries for Jesus. Missional communities are full of servants, hence the passage that we read tonight, who, in the same way that Jesus became a servant, enabling the kingdom of God to be established amongst us, so we must do the same. Personal sacrifice through serving others like Jesus the Master did himself. For those who were there then on Tuesday evening, at the fellowship evening, Gareth elaborated further on the structure of missional communities and how much of it, if not all, of our existing structures are going to remain the same. Our Sunday services stay intact. Our small groups remain the same. The more intimate spaces of perhaps two or three people may be new to some, but others in the fellowship are already engaging on that intimate level of twos or threes. The only new thing is the potential creation of a couple of larger groups, which the current small groups can fit into, these missional communities, so to speak. This is really a small structural change. It's not a huge shift in any shape or form, but it is a large shift, and it's an important shift in the way we think, in our philosophy. I thought because Gareth on Tuesday went super non-technical, I'd do the same tonight. Yeah. Which brings me back to the subject for tonight of missional communities being extended families on mission together. And the family dynamic making it all work. I was going to say smoothly, but any of you that have families or are part of families always know that families don't always run smoothly, do they? But rather, sometimes we can hit challenges that we have to work through. You know, we could fairly easily, I think, add this new tier of missional communities into our church structure without much hassle. But it's going to fail if we don't grasp this whole idea of extended family on mission together. That's the key to all of this. I know that Gareth mentioned it briefly last week, but it needs, I think, just to be reinforced again. The whole idea that the early church was so successful in fulfilling the Great Commission of Jesus because it was structured in these groups of 20 to 50 people who behaved like family together. They cared for one another, they loved one another, they taught each other, they learned from each other, they served one another for the sake of the mission to change the world through building God's kingdom, a household at a time. And I don't believe that there's any coincidence here that this was just one of many possible church structures or models that could have been equally successful at fulfilling the great commission that Jesus left with his early church. Because, friends, community, family, lies right at the heart of the kingdom of God. Right at the heart of the kingdom of God. Psalm 68 tells us that God places the lonely in families. In Ephesians 2, verse 19, in the New Living Translation, it says this, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with God, God's holy people. You are members of God's family." In the New International Version, it uses and replaces the word family with the word household, which is where this comes from. Oikos is a Greek word, and it basically means this extended family, which was a reference to an extended group of people who purposed to live together in community, just like a family, households of believers. And that's why throughout all of Paul's letters, you'll see him referring to this household and that household in Romans 16. There's a couple of households mentioned. The household of Aristobulus, I think. Narcissus, Chloe's household in 1 Corinthians, Stephanus' household, Onesiphorus, his household. Remember that these people didn't have Bibles like we have today to study when they gathered. They learned from one another, from the words of the apostles' teaching. They sat down over a meal and talked about how they could let the lavished love of the Father flow through them into the world that was beyond those house boundaries, those perimeters. They were families on mission together, seeking to disciple one another in the words, works, and ways of Jesus so that others could be brought in and made disciples of Jesus as well. This way of discipling worked back then because it was God's design. God designed us for community. When you think of the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are a perfect reflection of three in one living in harmony. God put them in families because, friends, we're in a battle, you know that, don't you? Not against flesh and blood, not against physical enemies, but against spiritual enemies who would seek to destroy us and destroy our faith. That's why Paul exhorts us to give up meeting together so that we can spur, not to give up meeting together, so that we can spur one another on to love and good works. When we're trying to run the race which God has marked out before us, He knows our needs, and that is why He places us in communities, in families, so that when, not if, but when we get discouraged, we can rely on the encouragement of our fellow family members to spur us on. God created us as community, orientated people, thriving in that family, that community setting. And I don't believe that there's any coincidence that this spirit-filled early Christian church was structured into these households of faith on mission together. No coincidence in that. I believe that I was ordained by God. For that is the most effective way of fulfilling the commission of making disciples as we do life together Jesus' way. Family in this context is a group of individuals all looking and moving in the same direction, the missional direction. Can you imagine for a moment a group of 20 to 50 people all thinking of themselves as mothers, fathers, children, brothers, sisters, grandchildren together, loving each other and caring about each other's spiritual development with a level of family-based intensity? No wonder that early church grew so strongly, even in the midst of life-threatening persecution. Nothing could stop it growing. Family is the thing that makes the structural design work properly. Without effective family being lived out, you're left with a rather lifeless skeleton that doesn't achieve very much at all. Family on mission is the oil that enables all the moving parts of the discipleship engine to move seamlessly together, moving us forward towards the goal of the mission. I heard it described recently as the textural aspect of playing a musical instrument. As you all know, I'm an expert when it comes to playing musical instruments. But actually, when I read this, I actually appreciated what the person was talking about. Even I could associate with what they were talking about. When a beginner is learning to play a musical instrument, apparently the easiest and first thing they master is the structural aspects of the music. Yeah? Which notes to play, how long to play them for, and when to rest. There's a bit more to it apparently as well, okay? What is often more difficult to learn is the texture of the music, the feel of the music. That's more difficult for beginners to pick up. The dynamics of playing loud or quietly, using the crescendos or the decrescendos, whatever they are, finding the right tone and the right pace to play at. You know, the structure's the thing which often comes first. But even when a song is played technically, perfectly, all the right notes in the right place, it can still be a long way off being an enjoyable piece of music. I don't know if you've ever heard songs like that. Not tonight, may I add, okay? Not tonight. The texture of the music is what makes the structure of all the notes in the right place work as a piece of art and brings it all together. Do you get what I'm saying tonight? Structure alone, yeah, that is adding a new layer to Gateway's form, in the form of missional communities, isn't going to be effective at delivering the discipleship environment that we want without us learning the textural dynamic of discipleship, which is family on mission. Family on mission is the texture of discipleship that allows the structure to work. Family on mission is the music to the lyrics of discipleship. Family on mission is how we stop thinking of discipleship as a task that we do instead of a life that we choose to live. We're not talking about doing discipleship through a class or a program, but as a way of life. Discipleship and mission will be difficult to achieve unless we create the texture, the right atmosphere, the right feel through family on mission. Without the soft issue of family on mission, on the structural skeleton of the body. This discipleship stuff will just be another program we'll grow tired of in time. And mission will just be another thing that we try to fit into our busy schedules. If we're going to be more effective at disciples, more effective at discipling, or making disciples, who in turn make disciples and move out in the mission, we need to somehow go from managing the boundaries of our schedules between different compartments in our lives to somehow integrating family and mission into one life together. A cohesive framework and fabric that empowers a culture of discipleship and mission. Not just occasional events and periodic programs, as good as they've been and they are, we need to learn how to live out our texture, that is family on mission, as we implement the structure, because the structure isn't going to work without the heart of it all, which is us being family together. It seems to me that the Holy Spirit does not want us to linger at the family or mission point. Yeah, an either-or scenario, an either-or position, family or mission. Doesn't want us to be at this point, and I don't believe that the Gateway is at this point. Yeah. He also wants us to push past the family and mission point, where we cleverly compartmentalize these different aspects of our lives, juggling our diaries in order to do mission stuff, at the same time as trying to fit in family, discipleship. I think the Gateway probably is at this point at the moment. And that's not us being critical, because if I'm criticizing, I'm criticizing myself here, okay? It's not being critical in any shape or form. We have a heart and a passion for helping one another to grow in our relationship with Jesus and to reach our community for him. And we mustn't see the next phase, the next development of Gateway's growth as in any way ridiculing the past. We are absolutely not. We're building on the past in order to serve the Master. But I think that we're not doing it in the integrated way that Family on Mission points us towards. The way that the early church perhaps did it through households of faith, living out the mission of God in their lives together. I'm not talking about communes here, I really am not, okay? I'm talking about integrating our mission to make disciples into a core part of our lives, a core part of who we are. Making our church family purpose together the mission of Jesus for our lives. This isn't just for couples, friends, with children. This is for everyone. For Jesus calls us all single, married, divorced, single parents, couples with no kids, couples with loads of kids, couples sort of that have had kids and empty nesters, if you want to call them that, teenagers or college students, friends. We are all called to function as integral members of some kind of family on mission. That's God's call for our lives. I've got a couple of other pages to read, but I'm gonna skip those because I think time is going, and conditions are not particularly conducive, I think, for the sitting there and hearing. There was a story that Gareth passed to me this week, in fact, and I was just going to read that out. Perhaps what I'll do is I'll send it by email. I'll send it around by email. Because this story just sort of shares the picture. It points the picture of what I've been talking about tonight, which is this whole idea of us really engaging with this idea of being family, real close family, households of faith on mission together, doing what the Savior called us to do, discipling one another, on a regular basis, meeting together, helping one another along the way. If when I send this out, you could have a read, I think that would be a good thing. Because tonight, friends, I think it's important for us, well, for me to point out that really we're not interested in change for change's sake. And maybe some of you here are wondering, why are we even bothering with this? We're doing okay. And yes, we are. But I don't just want to be doing okay, to be honest with you. I want to be firing on as many pistons as we possibly can. We're not interested in adding structure to the fellowship because we think this structure will make us a perfect church, because it won't. I'll still be here for a start, yeah, and that'll ruin things. Our whole purpose in doing this, friends, is we want to make disciples of Jesus, like he asked us to. We want to do that in a more effective way than we ever have before, to reach people like your family members that are not here tonight, to meet people that are your neighbors that you've been perhaps praying for over recent days, to reach those for Christ and to pull them into the family. That's the reason we're doing it, guys. That's the reason we're doing it. Loving each other like Jesus loved us, loving the people around us just as if they're part of our family. Let's pray. Father, in one respect tonight, I feel as if I just haven't communicated this properly. And I realize, Lord, that it's really, really important. So, Lord, I pray that that you, through your Holy Spirit, would plant in our hearts, all of us, Lord, an understanding of what this message was about tonight. Lord, I pray that as we think about it over this week, Lord, and allow you just to speak into our hearts about this opportunity that we have, Lord, to really engage on a very personal, intimate level, Lord, as families, supporting one another, strengthening one another, as we make your mission, Lord, the core parts of our lives. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us and that you'd minister to us. Lord, I pray that as we gather together next Sunday, Lord, and we hear from Adam about their experience of missional communities, Lord, just down in Kilvinneth. I just pray, Father, that that again, you would just build brick on brick, Lord, so that we'd know where we were going, Lord. We'd have this incredible sense, Lord, and assurance, Father, that what we're doing is right. Lord, I just pray for this gathering here tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd touch our hearts, Lord, as we finish with some songs, Lord, that just seek to lift you up. Holy Spirit, I just ask you that you would be amongst us tonight and that you would lift our hearts, Lord. You would take the cries of our hearts, Lord, and make them acceptable to God the Father. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.